Listen, do you need to be shown? Good hello. This is our special edition that we're doing today of the Bill Show. We woke up today, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
And hi, how are you? We woke up today and there was some absolutely terrifying news from America. A man named James Holmes evidently went into the Century City Cinema in Aurora, Colorado. He's shot
71 people, killed. Now the current death rate is 14 at the moment.
14
dead.
CNN is that Connecticut State Police have responded to reports of a shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. It is in the Newtown School District in the southwestern part of Connecticut. First pictures coming in right now. Let's put them up. You see the police tape in front. And you see also emergency people in the background there. A fire truck on your left. Fire and rescue. So it appears through these pictures, another confirmation that something is going on at this elementary school in Newtown.
I put one of my students on top of the toilet dispenser. I just knew we had to get in there. I was just telling them it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right.
I had pulled a bookshelf before I closed the door in front of it. So it was completely, we were completely barricaded in. I turned the lights off.
Did you tell them to be quiet? Did you worry about one of them?
No, I told them to be quiet. I told them we had to be absolutely quiet because I was just so afraid that if he did come in and then he would hear us and then he would maybe just start shooting the door. So I said, no, we just have to be absolutely quiet. I said, there are bad guys out there now. We need to wait for the good guys. They're coming again. I wanted us to be okay. And I'm so saddened that there are people who in this situation are not okay. And my heart goes out to anyone who knew them and was a part of their lives. I just can't imagine. And so I'm hearing the gunfire in the hallway, and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm the first classroom. Why isn't he coming? You know, I'm thinking we're next. And, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, what are your thoughts? What are your, you know, and I'm thinking that I have to almost be their parent. Like, I have to tell them, you know. So I said to them, I said, I need you to know that I love you all very much and that it's going to be okay, because I thought that was the last thing they were ever going to hear. I thought we were all going to die. You know, and I don't know if that's okay, you know, teachers and, you know, but I wanted them to know someone loved them, and I wanted them that to be one of the last things they heard.
Good evening. This is The Bill Show. And that was Caitlin Rogue. She's a 24-year-old school teacher at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. And she was there at the most recent mass shooting that we've had in America. The first clip we played for you was actually, if you know anything about our podcast, you know that Bill and I started doing it in February. And during that time, we had two different shootings, and we did shows on them because we thought they were important. It's something that both Bill and I feel very passionately about. But the interesting thing is that you could exchange those shows, really. What we ended up talking about guns in America, and you could just exchange the final message of both those shows, the statistics that we gathered and what we had learned and what we had gone to trouble before the show. They proved one thing. That when you have that many guns in one place and freely available, and as many as 10,000 people shot by guns every year, this has got to happen. And the NRA has made it absolutely impossible for people in government to regulate them. Let's look a little bit at the facts here. At Sandy Hook, 20-year-old Adam Lanza was carrying an arsenal of literally hundreds of rounds of ammunition when he walked in there. Enough to kill nearly every student in the school if given enough times, authorities said. Raising the specter, the bloodbath could have been far worse. This is off the Huffington Post, by the way. Lanza shot himself in the head when he heard police approaching the classroom where he was gunning down helpless children. Now, have a listen. This is what he had on him. He had multiple high-capacity clips, each capable of holding 30 bullets. The chief medical examiner said the ammunition was the type that was designed to break up inside a victim's body and literally explodes in the victim's body. And it's done for a reason, to inflict the maximum amount of damage, tearing apart bone and cartilage and tissue. He shot his mother 4 times in the head before he went to school. All the victims at the school were shot multiple times with a high-powered rifle, and some of them up close. All 6 adults were women. Of the 20 children, 8 were boys, and 12 were girls. All the children were between the ages of 6 and 7 years old. You know what's going to happen at the end of this? What's going to happen after this time passes is the NRA has gone silent, of course, right after this. And by the way, the point of those shows is when we were talking about the NRA, I've gotten to the point where I hold them absolutely culpable in deaths like this. Morally, absolutely culpable. You know, there was a ban on automatic weapons and semi-automatic weapons. It was allowed to lapse during the Bush administration, the Bush-Cheney administrations. Republicans made sure that this kid, Adam Lanza, had access to an assault rifle. And they're going to try to make it statistics because people, 10,000 people die of gun-related deaths, as we talked about on the show, every year. So statistics don't matter. I would like to, this is one thing that I read that absolutely shook me to the core. This is tough. These are some of the statistics that the NRA will try to ignore. Charlotte Bacon, this is again off the Huff Post. Charlotte Bacon, she was 6. They were supposed to be for the holidays, but finally on Friday, after hearing much begging, Charlotte Bacon's mother relented and let her wear her new pink dress and boots to school. It was the last outfit the outgoing redhead would ever pick out. Charlotte's older brother, Guy, he was also in the school that day. He didn't get shot. John Hogan, a family member, was interviewed by Newsday, and he said she was going to go some places in this world. This little girl could light up the room for anyone. Daniel Barnes was 7. Daniel's family says he was fearless in the pursuit of the happiness in life. He was youngest of 3 children, and in a statement to the media, his family said Daniel earned his missing 2 front teeth and his ripped jeans by being very adventurous. Words really cannot express what a special boy that Daniel was. Such a light, always smiling, unfailingly polite, incredibly affectionate, fair, thoughtful toward others, imaginative in play, and both intelligent and articulate in conversation. In all, a constant source of laughter and joy. Dan's father is a musician, a saxophonist, and he is a local musician. He had a gig on Friday night. He canceled it. If you go to his website, Mark Barton lists as his favorite thing to do is to spend time with his family. Rachel DeVino, she was a teacher. She's 29 years old. Her boyfriend had just recently asked her parents for permission to marry her. I thought that only happened in movies. Anyway, DeVino was a behavioral therapist who had only recently started working at the school where she was killed, according to Lisa Lovetier Stone, a family friend who is handling the funeral. Lisa says that Devanio's boyfriend, Anthony Ciritelli, planned to ask her to marry him on Christmas Eve. Rachel would have been proposed to on Christmas Eve. Lovetier Stone said she met DeVinio in 2005 when DeVinio was assigned to her son, who has autism, in their town of Bethlehem. DeVinio, 29, was so dedicated that she'd make house visits and constantly offered guidance on handling situations such as helping him deal with loud noises, such as at a wedding. This woman made house calls. Her job didn't end when the school bell rang at 3 o'clock. Police said that she shielded one of the students. That's how she died. That's just a couple of stories, statistics. It was also the principal and the psychologist who lunged at a man carrying a automatic weapon, unarmed. They lunged at him to protect their children. They're both dead. That was maybe four stories. There are 22 more. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Norris, a black belt patriot. If some thug breaks into my home, I could use my roundhouse kick, but I'd prefer he look down the barrel of my gun. And millions of other law-abiding families also rely on their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Some politicians say they support your rights, but unfortunately, their voting records say otherwise. Protect your rights on Election Day. Check the candidates' records and see who stood up for your families and who protected the criminals. I'm Chuck Norris, and I approve this message.
Just let them try and outlaw those guns.
That was Chuck Norris. Chuck's not going to deal with, you know how Chuck deals with people. Chuck deals with people. They come to my house to get my guns. I'll kill them. Try not to take Chuck's guns because he's a guy. He's a man. He's a red-blooded American, folks, and he solves arguments and conflicts the old-fashioned way. He'll kill you. And good old Chuck, you know, I mean, he'll also defend the right of 20-year-old Adam Lanza to carry over 100 rounds of ammunition and have two Glocks on him. Oh, and an automatic weapon. Or semi-automatic assault rifle with exploding ammunition. Good on you, Chuck. What a contribution to society. What a guy. I've been recording this over a few days because, quite frankly, it's very difficult to do this show today over the past 3 days. It just is. And over the last 3 days, I kind of thought, okay, well, firing line is going to be basically about the reaction. And all three different ways in which the far right and the NRA and the gun lobby go about justifying the absolute carnage of literally thousands of people every year have started to take place. Because the NRA went silent for about 48 to 72 hours, which I'm sure everyone said, well, you might be culpable, which you are. Now we have the gun nuts coming out. I want to play for you one. This was the day that these people died, in which the distinguished Mike Huckabee, what a guy, got on Fox News. And this is what he had to say.
Tragedies like this. How could God let this happen?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. We ask why there's violence in our schools, but we've systematically removed God from our schools. Should we be so surprised that schools would become a place of carnage because we've made it a place where we don't want to talk about eternity, life, what responsibility means, accountability, that we're not just going to have to be accountable to the police if they catch us, but one day we stand before, a holy God in judgment. If we don't believe that, then we don't fear that.
Okay, that was interesting, Mr. Huckabee. Are you telling me that the reason that 27 people got killed in the Sandy Hook Primary School, this guy had two Glocks, each with 30 bullets each that he could fire repeating. He was in possession of a military-style assault rifle. And he went to a school, he broke in, and he went up to kids and shot them over and over and over again. And you're going to tell me that the reason for this tragedy is that no one said their prayers? Adam Lanza did not fear the Lord God. He didn't go in there because he was a pagan. Yes, we're all pagan. You know something? We needed to have some prayer. That was the problem. Not your continual support of the NRA. Not your continual support of an organization, your membership in an organization, your continual support of an organization that allowed semiotic automatic weapons to be in the closet of that woman's house. No, it couldn't be that, Mike. Let's take a look at Mike's record. Mike was speaking before the NRA. This is off ABC News. Former GOP hopeful and Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is back in the news this week, making a splash when he took a hit at Senator Barack Obama. This was during the election. During the annual NRA meeting, which he was speaking at. Huckabee made an off-color joke during his speech in Louisville, Kentucky when a loud bang was heard off stage. This is what he said. That was Barack Obama, Huckabee quipped. He just tripped off a chair. He was getting ready to speak. Somebody aimed a gun at him, and he dove to the floor. Mike! Yeah, someone was trying to shoot the black guy. That's kind of funny, isn't it? What a douchebag. He supports conceal and carry. And this is his justification. This is justification for the reason that he supports basically the right for, Adam Lanza to have his automatic, semi-automatic weapon. This is the one he gave, right? This is off the HuffPost. There are 700,000 physicians in the U.S., and the number of accidental deaths caused by them per year is 120,000, making the accidental death rate per physician 17%. Using the same logic, there are about 80 million gun owners, and the number of accidental gun deaths per year among all age groups is 1,500. The same calculation reveal the number of accidental deaths per gun owner to be 0.00188%. In other words, statistically, doctors are approximately 9,000 more times more dangerous than gun owners. I guess, why don't we ban doctors? Whoa. But you see, when they have a gun and they shoot somebody, it's not accidental. This guy calls himself a Christian. I swear to God, if God met this guy, he'd never stop throwing up. He takes money from the NRA. He speaks at their benefits. He jokes about somebody shooting the president of the United States. And then when somebody walks into a primary school and kills all those kids, he sits there and goes, well, must be the God. No, we aren't praying enough. Can't be the guns that I've supported for the past decade. An amazing guy. The next one was my favorite, Louis Gohmert. Louis Gohmert. This came up after the Colorado. Listen to what Louis Gohmert, he got on. This is a congressman from Texas, okay? And these are the guys who were just obviously not getting the minutes of, you know, like, everyone shut up, stay quiet. Well, Huckabee. And now Louis Gohmert. Louis Gohmert got on with this gem. This is a fantastic gem.
After the movie theater shooting that we've referred to in July in Aurora, Colorado, you said that what we need is more people carrying weapons so that if a shooter comes into a movie theater with a gun, somebody can stand up and defend him and defend other people. Question, and this is the question Dick Durbin, do we really want folks in movie theaters and shopping malls and schools armed?
Once we have this actually open dialogue about the situation, Chris, you find out that, and John Lott's done some great investigation and study into this, every mass killing of more than three people in recent history has been in a place where guns were prohibited. These gun, except for one, they choose this place. They know no one will be armed. You know, having been a judge and having reviewed photographs of these horrific scenes and knowing that children have these defensive wounds, gunshots through their arms and hands as they try to protect themselves, and hearing the heroic stories of the principal lunging, trying to protect Chris, I wish to God she had had an M4 in her office locked up so when she heard gunfire, she pulls it out and she didn't have to lunge heroically with nothing in her hands, but she takes him out, takes his head off before he can kill those precious kids.
Well, Louis. Louis grew up in a Clint Eastwood film. Louis is the personification of what Chuck Norris. There are people who actually believe that if I had a gun, we just should arm everybody. Louis, if you think that people go to certain places to commit murders because they look at the laws, then how do you explain the fact that you have over 10,000 gun deaths in America every year and Britain has 58. Britain has 58. Okay? You have less than 1,000 in Europe last year. So why aren't they going, why aren't they getting tickets to Europe? Just FYI, I'm just curious. Why aren't these people going to Europe? I mean, obviously, under your flawless logic, see, that's the second thing. That's the one you heard right after the theater shooting. And Gohmert was the one who said it, that everybody should be armed. We just need more guns. It's not the fact that there's that many guns. It's just the fact that we need more. We haven't got enough. You're the most well-armed country in the world. This kindergarten teacher had a high power, you know, two Glocks and an automatic weapon. The guy who walked into the theater walked in with an arsenal. You can get guns anywhere you want. And you're going to tell me, the flawless logic, that the reason we have too many gun deaths is because we don't have enough guns. He's delusional. He's delusional. And anybody who believes it is totally delusional. This is the last one. This is Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly did a fantastic job of saying the one thing that really pisses me off after all these different shootings. We can't talk about it. No. We got to show respect, you know, for a while until people kind of like go into a new news cycle and we could forget about this and our buddies in the NRA can sleep better. You know, that whole shuck and jive. How dare you talk about gun deaths when there's been gun deaths? Why would you talk about regulating guns when people are getting killed by guns? That's so insensitive. You know what's insensitive? Arming a guy like Adam in the first place. You know what's insensitive? Letting the automatic weapon and the semi-automatic weapon ban go by that will allow each nutcase in America to grab a gun at Walmart, go into a friggin' school, and shoot a kid 11 times in the head. That is what I'm talking about as insensitive. Here's O'Reilly.
Segment tonight on Friday, it just took minutes for some people on MSNBC and other liberal outlets to direct the story in Connecticut from the horror to gun control.
When we talk about gun violence in this country, and we're not talking about Second Amendment rights, we're talking, as I was discussing with the Brady campaign officials yesterday, about reasonable background checks, reasonable controls, automatic weaponry and ammo, the multiple rounds that caused the greatest amount of violence.
We didn't do this on Friday. I don't know whether you saw Friday's Factor. But we had the highest rating, as usual, in the cable news universe. We didn't do any of that political stuff.
Right.
Right? Because it just wasn't appropriate, you know?
Right.
The folks wanted to know what happened. They wanted the facts, as far as we knew. They wanted to see the reaction of the people on the scene. They didn't want any of this political stuff.
You notice, even by when you were sitting there listening to what Andrea Mitchell said, she was talking about gun registrations and automatic weapons, the cause of the problem, the cause of this tragedy. But it's just political stuff, isn't it, Bill? Oh, by the way, I love the fact that O'Reilly still has a chance to be an egotistical asshole. Yeah, the highest rating. You know when the kid died? Yep, highest rating show of the universe. Amazing asshole. Amazing, absolute. And the idea that we can't talk about gun control legislation at this particular time is the shuck and jive the NRA and the gun lobby have used every single time this happens. Every single time. Yeah, we don't want to get into the political stuff. Screw you, Bill. Screw you sideways. Apparently you're being hostile. Yeah. I'm sick of listening to this tool. And this is what they come up with. We can't talk about it. But it's not going to happen this time. It's not going to happen this time. You know? And people like O'Reilly are really, I mean, after the election and now with what Obama's saying right now and the way people are reacting, something's going to happen. And it's about damn time. But those are the three reactions that you can expect from the right wing as we go forward in the next few weeks. The prayer option, which was Mike Huckabee. The fact that we should just arm everybody, or it's just really uncouth to even talk about it. Amazing. We're going to talk about what we can do about it when we come back in a moment.
Four.
Why on earth would you want more guns in schools after what's happened today?
Here's why, Piers.
If we could suddenly make all guns disappear, I'd have a different position. But I spend a lot of time thinking about this and reading about it. I teach a class at the law school level called Gun Control Seminar, and I get a new group of law students every term, and we discuss this in detail. And the simple facts are guns exist. They are essentially 1800s technology. Even semi-automatics came into being in the late 1800s. They're easy to make. They're not going anywhere. They last several human lifetimes with minimal maintenance. So since guns exist, and we know for a fact that the only way to stop an evil person like the person you were discussing earlier in the show is to shoot him,
no,
or is he going to shoot himself?
Hang on. This is exactly the argument that I've been hearing ever since I've joined CNN. I joined about a week after Gabby Giffords, a congresswoman, was shot in the head. Right. Ever since then, we've had the Sikh temple, the Aurora incident. We had the shopping mall last week. Guy downstairs shot in the head from our New York bureau, and so on and so on and so on. And the argument I keep hearing is, well, if everybody else was armed, it wouldn't happen. It's a load of total hogwash, isn't it? No. If everyone had been armed at that movie theater, twice
well,
as many
actually,
people
it isn't.
Would have been killed in the mayhem
the
that erupted.
Give the an proof example of the proof of the where pudding. People have stopped
the
these attacks
the
when a bystander has been hit. You can't give me one example where a bystander has been hit by
the
a
Empire
permit holder.
The Empire State Building.
Where a permit holder.
Can I just...
The proof of the pudding
you don't
is that in every other industrialized country in the world, other than the United States, they have reasonable gun control laws and... They have 100 people a year, not 9,000 or 10,000 a year killed by guns.
Guys, listen,
Japan,
but it was lower before gun control.
Japan adopted strong gun control laws.
And has almost zero
crime. And the homicide rate plummeted.
But the point is, gun control didn't change it.
In Scotland, in Dunblane, in 1996, there was a very similar school shooting.
Right.
Just an awful situation. 16 young children killed exactly as they were today.
You know, when the two of the
and
four...
And as a result of this, they brought in a handgun ban. 162,000 handguns were handed in. Right? It is time for an
murder
amnesty.
Rates
listen,
went
listen,
up.
Listen, listen.
There was an amnesty in Australia.
Murder
as well.
Rates went up.
There are about 35 murders a year in Britain.
But it was
35.
Lower for another
there
reason.
There are nearly 12,000 murders a year from guns in this country.
The point is,
when are
it
you
went
guys going to focus on that?
But it
stop telling me
but
the answer is more guns.
No,
it is not the answer.
Look, listen.
Let's focus on
that. It was after the ban. It was higher than it was before the ban.
So you want more guns, not less?
I'm saying
300 million. Guns
when
in America
ban,
isn't enough for you.
When you ban guns,
how many more kids
law,
have to die before you guys
you,
say
look,
we want less guns, not more?
I'm Pierce, upset about this. He
Barry,
asked me a question.
I want to tell you
Let
something.
Him answer the question.
I'm upset because I worry that the gun control laws that you're pushing have killed people.
Oh,
that
what
when
a
you,
lot of nonsense.
Look, yeah. You have to explain.
Nonsense.
You
an average of 35 you, killings from guns in Britain a year.
No.
In
but,
a place that banned handguns.
But
here,
it was lower
no
before
ban on these
they
guns,
had the gun 12, control
12,000 people a year die from gun murders.
Look, there are lots of differences across
country.
Can I
totally
you,
Britain,
you have to
can
understand.
Can I please have the opportunity to say something without screaming?
Ban,
I mean...
Yeah, there is. I'm sorry, but
I want the... I just need to...
I've been debating this all week. Following the Bob Costas thing, the shopping mall and so on, following Aurora. I've been debating it for months, if not 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated. I'm so furious
but
that these kids have been blown away again with legally acquired weapons.
But
some boy who's got problems takes his mother's three weapons, including this ridiculous assault rifle, and goes into school and kills his kids. And you guys on the gun lobby still want to tell me the answer is more guns.
That was Piers Morgan this week on CNN. You know, I've never thought much of Piers Morgan, but I agree with him now. More guns. That's what we need. You know, rather than this being a completely hopeless show and a really sad, it is a sad show. I mean, it's a terribly sad and angry show. And that's two in a row for me. So, you know, we'll try to do some comedy sometime soon. But this is not the time nor the place. What we should be doing is thinking about what we can do to make sure that the NRA doesn't have its way. Now, the NRA's plan, I believe, as well as all gun advocates and the 72 hours that they went black, they released a statement that they were willing to contribute to a meaningful dialogue of some sort in some vague way. I think this is the time in which we more or less find out who's been taking the money in the Congress and the Senate. Who are the big guys that are taking the money in the Congress and the Senate to obstruct gun control legislation? And also the NRA. Credo, a political action committee in was out protesting in front of NRA offices today. You also had so much pressure on the NRA that the NRA has actually taken down its website in Newtown. But let's take a look at the NRA and think about, you know, basically who needs to be pressured. It should be an absolute negative. The NRA works on basically the principle that if you vote against guns, very much like the tax, Grover Norquist, on tax increases, if you vote against guns, or then you will feel our wrath at election time. We should organize the same way. That if you're voting against gun control legislation, even the gun control legislation that we're basically talking about is bringing back the automatic weapons and semi-automatic weapons ban that was instituted in 1994 under Clinton. If you go up against that, there should be an electoral cost. And we should be more or less, though I tell you the amount of contempt I have for some of these people is beyond words, but we should be civilly talking to these legislators and say, hey, listen, Grover Norquist is going to do the thing with the taxes. We're going to do it with gun control. We're going to do it with gun control. Because I think you'll find that basically on this issue, there are a lot of Republicans who are going to sit there and say, I don't want to have anything to do with these people. You know, there are a lot of people who are middle-of-the-road Republicans who don't believe that it's right for, you know, kids to be able to access Glocks and semi-automatics and go into schools and kill kids. National Rifle Association accounts for 60% of what gun rights interest groups spent in lobbying Congress and the Senate in 2011 and the first three quarters of 2012. The other gun rights advocates include, now here's a list, Gun Owners of America, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Gun Owners of America, by the way, that they had a guy on Hardball the other day who more or less hinted that the reason that they have to have their guns is just in case the government doesn't do anything they don't, if the government doesn't do anything that they don't like. Wacky. Now, okay. I didn't like the Iraq war. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time you heard a left-wing guy do that? You know? And a right-wing, you know, real extreme left-wing, you know? I mean, to find violent behavior on the left-wing, you have to go back to the 60s. Okay? We don't run around saying, look, if you don't do what we say we're going to do, we're going to seek a Second Amendment, you know, remedy for that. Jen Bowers said that. She said that to the President of the United States. She's the one who waved the finger at him at the airport. Remember that? If you don't do what we say, what we want you to do, we've got guns. So we don't do that. You know, we tend to sit in a corner and, you know, roll over. We're Democrats. That's what we do for a living. But not this time. This time. Got off the track here. Okay, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the Safari Club International, Boone and Crockett Club. I guess they think they're Daniel Boone and David Crockett or something like that. A group that aims to preserve the hunting heritage. That's the Boone and Crockett Club and the Ohio Gun Collectors Association, all very active in in making sure that the money's spread around during the election cycles. Let's have a look at the ones that we know are taking a lot of cash from the NRA. Top recipients of money from gun rights interest groups include presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Ah, Mitt. Well, we don't have to worry about you right now, but you know, this next name should be familiar to you. John Boehner. Yes, that's right, the Speaker of the House. Old Copperhead himself is one of the big recipients of money from gun interest groups. Senator-elect Ted Cruz, the Republican from Texas, and Senate candidate Denny Rehberg. I'm not sure if he got in. Tea Party Republican Michelle Bachmann, Alan West, who, bye-bye, Alan, you know, we know you didn't get in. According to data from the Center for Responsive Politics, donors associated with the NRA have heavily favored Republicans in their contributions since 1990 election cycle, with an average of 83% of their money leaning right in the last two decades. In the 2012 election cycle, 89% of the NRA's contributions went to Republicans. The top recipients from the 2012 reps were Steve Fincher, Republican in Tennessee, Jim Renacci, Republican Ohio, received $9,900 in cash, or not cash, I imagine there was a check. Ohio Senator candidate Josh Mandel, Mike Kaufman, Eric Cantor, there's a familiar name, Rick Berg, the Republican, Representative Raul Labrador, he's a Republican from Indiana, and Wisconsin Senator candidate Tommy Thompson, each took in about $7,000 from the National Rifle Association. They gave the GOP candidate Mitt Romney just shy of $6,000. Some Democrats who received contributions from the NRA include Jim Matheson, Michigan Representative Joe Dingell, Arkansas Representative Mike Ross, and Georgia Rep. John Barrow. Smith & Wesson gave 90% of its $22,750 in contributions to federal candidates opposed to PACs and other groups. Senator Scott Brown, Republican of Massachusetts, got $7,000. Senator Corker from Tennessee received $2,000. And California Rep. Buck Mixon got $1,000. Okay. These are just some of the guys, and I have a complete list. Steve Fincher, Jim Renacci, Josh Mandel, Rick Berg, Eric Cantor, Mike Kaufman, Paul Labrador, a Republican from Indiana, Tommy Thompson, John Carter, a Republican from Texas, Dean Heller, a Republican from Nevada, Jim Matheson, a Democrat from Utah, George Allen, the Republican from Virginia, Paul Gozer, a Republican from Arizona, Stephen King, a Republican from Steve King, from Louisiana, I think. Mitt Romney, as I said, received some. John A. Barrasso, a Republican from Wyoming. John Dingell, John D. Dingell, a Democrat from Missouri. Orrin Hatch, great, good on you, Orrin. Republican, Utah. Tim Murphy and Hal Rogers. If you recognize any of those names as being your representatives, and you just have a thing about, you know, kids walking into schools and pumping 11 shots into 7-year-olds, then you might want to, in a very politely worded statement, that say, if you take money from these guys ever again, I'm not voting for you. And I got 5 friends. And they have 5 friends. And they have 5 friends. Okay? Also, what I've done is that on our website and our blog, what I've done is I've posted a petition that site on the White House called We the People, and which you, if you get over 25,000 signatures on a petition, I believe there was a petition that the United States built a Death Star the other day, a couple of Star Wars fans. So a lot of this stuff is nutty, but this one's actually hit the news. This was a petition put up by a private individual that demanded action on gun control now. It has over 110,000 signatures, and I like that. I like that, and I would like to see everybody, if you're listening to the broadcast, go over to the Bill Show on XBR, and there's a link there. Click it, and if you're an American citizen, you go there, just register and sign it. And I think that the more pressure we put on I think Obama's probably going to do the right thing here. I think that his speech was amazing, the speech that he gave, but he's very good at giving speeches. It's very important that we press. There's an old story When FDR was president, somebody came into his office and said, you know, we really have to do this. It was a special interest group. And they said, we really have to do this for all the right reasons. And he gave all these humanitarian reasons. And FDR just looked at him and said, you know, after a half hour of talking, and he just said, great. Now go and make me do it. And that, I think, is got to be our strategy, is make them do it. And I don't think you're going to need that much of a nudge. So go to the website, www.thebillshowonxpr.blog.com. I'm going to post a blog note up tonight, a link where you can do this. It'll take you 5 minutes. If you happen to be in the constituencies of any of these guys, send them an email. You know, don't be harsh or overly rhetorically over the top, as I tend to be on this broadcast. Be polite. But just say, look, folks, I have five friends and they have five friends. You got to cut these guys loose. And you got to start voting with a little courage. And maybe we'll get things done this time. And we won't have to have another show like this. Third one we've done in, you know, since February. Okay, that's going to be it for the Bill Show tonight. It was a rough one that we had, you know, that I felt passionately that we should do. Bill's not here. Again, he's on vacation, so you do have to listen to me when Bill's not here. We will have some guests coming up after the Christmas break. It's beautiful here in Australia. I hope it's really wonderful where you are. And I hope you have a great Christmas. And if you've been listening to the show, thanks a lot. I know that we haven't got a huge audience, but we do have some people out there and who listen regularly. And I want to say hi and Merry Christmas. Ken, Merry Christmas. Bunch of guys over at American Progressives, Merry Christmas. All the people that do listen to the show, our little podcast, our little wireless program, have yourselves a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, and a great start to the new year. This has been The Bill Show. Good night for now.
Shots, and we'll take that ride across this bloody river to the other side. 41 shots cut through the night. You're kneeling over his body in the vestibule, praying for his life. Well, is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret.
It ain't no secret,
my friend. You get killed just for living in your American skin.
41 shots, 41 shots, 41 shots, 41 shots.
Lena gets her son ready for school. She says, on these streets, child rules. You've got to understand the rules. If an officer stops you, promise me you'll always be polite, and that you'll never ever run away, and promise mama you'll keep your hands inside.